Hey, greetings, friends. It's Pastor Joshua M. Daniels, and I'm so glad you're getting ready to hear a message that was preached at the Mount Zion Church here in Los Angeles, California. You're getting ready to hear a life-changing word from God, and I don't want you to miss any life-changing words. So make sure you go to YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel today, subscribe to our podcast, anywhere you see podcasts so that you can experience all that God has for you. Well, listen, let's get into this word. I know it's going to bless you. I'll be back at the end. It's up from here.
Let the unforgiveness go. Let the bitterness go. Let the grudge go. Let the anger go. Let the pain go. Let the frustration go. Let the rage go. Let the anger go. Let the desire for vengeance go. Let the fear go. Let the shame go. Let it go. I know they hurt you, but let that go. I know they lied to you, but let that go. I know they lied on you, but let that go. I know they wanted to see you fail, but let that go. I know they still want to see you fail, but let that go. I know they don't mean nothing good for you, but let that go. Why? Because God can't bless you with your future while you're still crying over your past. And some of you think tonight that because you aren't crying about it anymore means you're not consumed with it anymore. But I came to tell you, as long as it still bothers you, you got to let that go. Because here's the shout tonight. If you can get over Saul, you can get to David. I know. That's real simple, huh? That's really all I came to tell you tonight. If you can get over Saul, you can get to David. If you can let Saul go, God can let David come. And God sent me here to tell you tonight, he ain't holding you back. You holding you back. Because you too busy holding on to Saul. And God is ready to move you on to your next. But the question is, will you be willing to let go of Saul so that God can give you your David? So here's the take-home truth, and I'm almost in my seat. Here's the take-home truth tonight. Y'all ain't got to like this. I know I'm preaching.com in here. Here's the take-home truth tonight. You can't embrace your tomorrow until you fully let go of yesterday. That's all I came to tell somebody tonight. You cannot embrace your tomorrow until you fully let go of yesterday. So here's the question. So how do I do it? How do I let go of Saul? Anybody interested? Yes, three things. I'm only going to be in verse 1 tonight. Three things I see in verse 1. It's right there. Let's just let the Bible preach to us tonight. The text teaches us if we're going to let Saul go, there's three things we got to do. Here's the first one tonight, Faith. The first thing you got to do is you've got to release what God has rejected. Will you say that with me tonight? Say release. What God has rejected. Huh. All right, let me cut across the field because y'all don't like me tonight. Let me cut across the field like this and tell you, you will never get to where God is if you cannot leave where he was. I just said something in here. I said you'll never get to where God is if you cannot leave where he was. Too many times, we are so in love with our history that we cannot get where God is headed. And here's God's word for somebody tonight. There is nothing about your future that is behind you. Everything that God has for you is in front of you. And you've got to learn how to release where God was so that you can join him where he is. Can I show it to you in the text? Watch the text says, God asks Samuel a question that he follows up with a statement. Here's what he says. God says, Samuel, watch it, Chris. God says, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him? Now these few words carry so much weight because they make us ask at least two questions. Here it is. Question number one is, why has God rejected Saul? Because I don't think any of us want to end up on that list. Told you, chapter 15 ends saying that God repented, or God was sorry that he made Saul king of Israel. And I must admit to you that I never want God to say that about me. I never want God to say that he was sorry that he blessed me, that he was sorry that he favored me, that he was sorry that he graced me, that he was sorry that he placed me. I don't want God to reject me. So why has God rejected Saul? Why is God sorry that he made Saul king? Well, when you go back to chapter 15, you'll discover at least three big problems that Saul had. Notice, first of all, he had a problem with perception. Everybody say insecurity. It said, 1 Samuel 15, verse 17, Samuel tells Saul, he says, here's your problem, Saul. You're too small in your own eyes. He says, Saul, the reason you keep doing stupid stuff is because you don't know who you are. Y'all don't want to help me preach. And some of you, the reality of it is, you would start making better decisions if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't need to pray for so many miracles if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't get in so many messes if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't settle for so much if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't go on certain dates if you saw yourself right. You wouldn't accept certain jobs if you saw yourself right. Some of us, the problem is perception. That ain't his only problem. He's got a problem with perception, but he's also got a problem with partial obedience. I'm still in 1 Samuel 15, verse 18 through 22. Look what happened. Samuel tells Saul, he said, here's your problem. God told you to go destroy the Amalekites. God told you to go destroy everything. Look what Saul said. Saul said, hold on, no. I did what God told me to do. I went to battle and I killed him. He said, no, you did a piece of it. See, what you decided to do, Saul, was you decided to take the good stuff. You decided to take the best animals. You decided to take the best of the silver and the gold. And you decided that you was going to keep the king alive. And you decided that you was going to play spiritual. And that because you decided that you was going to sacrifice one of the bulls, that God was supposed to forget that he told you to kill it and not sacrifice it. And Samuel tells Saul, he says, is not obedience better than sacrifice? He lets him know, here's your problem. You've had partial obedience, and partial obedience is still total disobedience. That when God tells you to do something, you can't pick and choose what part you want to do. Either you're going to obey all of it or none of it. All right. He's got a problem with perception. He's got a problem with partial obedience. Here's the other problem he got. He got a problem with people pleasing. Notice he admits it. It's in 1 Samuel 15, 24. Saul says, here's why I did that. He said, because I feared the people instead of obeying the voice of God. Saul's problem is that he would rather make people happy than God happy. Don't look at Saul like that. Because how many times have you been more concerned about the smiles of people than the obedience of God? Notice, because of his perception problem, because of his partial obedience problem, because of his people-pleasing problem, ultimately, he wastes his potential. Because Saul never quite lived up to who God wanted him to be. And friends, whenever your perception is off and you struggle with partial obedience and pleasing people, ultimately, you will waste your potential and cause God to reject you. But that's only one question. The second question becomes, not just why did God reject Saul, but Skylar, here's the second question. So how long has Samuel been mourning? Because for God to come and say, how long will you mourn, suggests Samuel's been doing it for some length of time. Now in the Bible, we see different times of mourning. In the scripture, we saw mourning for 7 days in Genesis 50. That's what Joseph and his brothers do after Jacob dies. We see 30 days in Deuteronomy 34. That's what happens with Israel after Moses dies. We even see the words many days in Genesis 37. That's what happens to Jacob when he thinks that Joseph has died. And some customs of the day suggest that a period of mourning could last for up to 3 years. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though, Brother Carter. Whether it had been 7 days, 30 days, many days, or 3 years, God said to Samuel, it's been long enough. Y'all don't want to have no church. God says, I don't know whether you've been doing 7 days, 30 days, many days, 3 years, but the point is, it's long enough. You've cried and you've moped long enough. Let that go and get on to the next. And I love it, because when you put this statement together, it's as if God was saying, now listen, Samuel, I understand your season. I understand you've been mourning over Saul, and I know he was your boy, but although I understand your season, you need to stop for my reason, and here's my reason. I've rejected him, which means my hand is no longer on him, which means my grace is gone.
And there's no reason for you to try to keep holding on to what I've already let go of. Because holding on to what I've let go of is the fastest way to end up outside of my will. And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but that's what God is saying to somebody in this church tonight. God is telling somebody tonight that it's time for you to let go of what God has already let go of. That's why sometimes the greatest danger to your destiny is actually your desires. And God sent me here to tell somebody tonight, he's already rejected that relationship, release it. He's already rejected that season, release it. He's already rejected that behavior, release it. He's already rejected that way of thinking, release it. Because if you try to hold on to what God has let go of, you will find yourself out of the will of God. But can I tell you something? If you release it, God says he'll release something else to you. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I came to tell you that if you can release what God has rejected, then God can release your next level. He can release your promotion. He can release your increase. He can release your harvest. He can release your healing. He can release your more influence, more grace, more favor, more everything. If you can release what God has rejected, he'll release his best for your life. All right. Number two. I let that go by releasing what God has rejected. Here's the second thing I got to do. If I'm going to let that go, the second thing I got to do is you've got to resume your responsibilities. Everybody say resume. Your responsibility. All right. Let me cut across the field because I'm getting hungry. Let me cut across the field like this. Here's the truth. Let's just be real tonight. It's just us as in here. When life happens, sometimes you need a break. After the death of a loved one, you may need a break. After a bad breakup, you may need a break. After a huge financial setback, you may need a break. After a disappointing loss, you may need a break. After you invested your all into something and didn't get the return you expected, you may need a break. And here's the truth tonight. Breaks are healthy. Because some people try to produce over their pain instead of processing through their pain, and then they just end up in more pain. So sometimes you need a break. But here's the truth tonight. You can't break forever. At some point, you got to get back to the business. And Bill, God sent me here tonight to tell somebody that I know life happened to you, and I know it knocked the wind out of you, and I know you've been on a break, but God sent me to this church tonight to tell you break time is over, and it's time for you to get back to work. Why? Because God can't go to work unless you do, and some of you are waiting on God to go to work on your behalf, and God is saying, I'm waiting on you to get back to work, because at some point, you got to stop crying and get back to doing what God has called you to do. Here's the shout tonight. Here's the shout. Don't miss this. I worked on this line really hard. Don't miss this. One of the reasons you've got to let Saul go is just because God rejected Saul doesn't mean he's retired you. Yeah. See, Samuel, I know I rejected Saul, but I ain't retired you. You still got work to do. And that's God's word to somebody in this church tonight. You still got some work to do. It's time for you to get back to singing, to writing, to producing, to creating, to dreaming, to being, to doing, to becoming. You got work to do. Can I show it to you in the text? I'm still in verse 1. Notice what God tells him. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. The Message Bible helps us to understand the assignment even more because the Message Bible says, fill your flask with anointing oil and get going. I love it because at this point, God is telling Samuel that it's time for you to return to your responsibility as a kingmaker. Because Samuel is the one who God has given the assignment of anointing kings. And God is saying to Samuel, Samuel, you got a big job ahead of you. Because you have got to go and anoint Saul's successor. Watch this, which means that your next assignment is too great to stay focused on your last agony. Did you hear what I just said? I said your next assignment is too great to stay focused on your last agony. So this is what you need to do, Samuel. Fill up your horn of oil and be on. Notice, first thing God is saying to Samuel when he's telling him that is he's telling Samuel, yes, you wasted some oil. He's being upfront when he tells him, you've wasted some oil. Because for the horn to need to be filled would suggest, somebody know where I'm going with this, that it was empty. And the only reason, Kim Price, it was empty is because Samuel had used his oil on the wrong king. I don't know what church I'm at tonight. All right. The oil ain't there because he wasted it on somebody who didn't value it. On somebody who didn't understand what it was. And that's the truth tonight. That's where some of y'all are right now. You have an empty horn because you've wasted oil. You've wasted it on the wrong person. And on the wrong business, and on the wrong venture, and on the wrong idea, and in the wrong place, and with the wrong commitment, and doing the wrong thing. You have wasted some oil. But here's the shout. When God tells Samuel to fill your horn with oil and be on your way, God is saying to Samuel, yes, you wasted some oil, but can I give you the shout? Here's the second thing he's saying to Samuel. Yes, you wasted some oil, but no, your work isn't over. You see, for God to tell Samuel to be on his way suggested that although you wasted some oil, your work ain't over. And that's God's word to somebody in this church tonight. I know you wasted some oil doing the wrong thing, being connected to the wrong people, and staying in the wrong places. But God's word tonight is that wasted oil doesn't mean your work is over, because God says he can fill your horn again. But somebody in here, the enemy has convinced you that because you wasted some oil, because you wasted some time and some money and some seasons and some leadership capital and some integrity and some things, the enemy told you that because you wasted some oil means that your work is done. But I came to tell you tonight that you serve the God who says you wasted some oil, but your work ain't over, because God says I can still use you. I still want to bless you. I still got my hand on you. And God says your work ain't over, because I'm getting ready to fill your horn again. I wish somebody would lift your hands tonight and say, God, fill me up again. I wish there was somebody in this church tonight who knows I've wasted some oil in some past season, but I got a funny feeling that God is getting, I feel something breaking out, that God is getting ready to fill my horn again. I dare somebody to just lift your hands and say, fill my horn again, because I got work to do. I got too much in me for me not to get back to work. I serve the God who will fill my horn back up. I know you wasted some oil, but your work ain't over. Will you help me to preach that to somebody? Tell somebody your work ain't over. Come on. Tell them, I know you wasted some oil, but your work ain't over. God still got more for you. All right, I'm signing off here tonight. Y'all don't want to have no fun. Here it is. If you're going to let that go, you got to release what God has rejected. If you're going to let that thing go, then not only do you got to release what God has rejected, but then you got to resume your responsibilities. Here's the last one and I'm done. If you're going to let that thing go, you got to get ready for God to reveal something better. Can you say that with me? Say, you got to get ready for God to reveal something better. I'm getting out of here tonight. But here's the line I've been trying to get to all night long. Here's the one sentence I've been trying to get to all night long. I've been preaching this whole time just trying to get to this one line. Here it is. God's next is always better than his last. Did you hear what I just said? I said, God's next is always better than his last. And I don't know who needs to hear this word tonight, but God sent me here today to tell you that God only asks you to let go of what was, because what's to come is so much better. And I wish there was somebody in this church tonight who could give God some praise, because God's word to you tonight is that what's to come, woo, is better than what's been. I wish there was somebody in this house tonight who could give God a shout of praise, because you know something better is getting ready to happen. Will you give your neighbor a big F5 tonight, and tell him something better is on the way? Can I show you the text? I'm almost done. Look what text says. God says, I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I'm still in verse 1. He says, I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. Why? Because I have chosen one of his sons to be the king. I love it. Because when God tells Samuel this, what he's letting Samuel know is, first of all, I already have a plan. Debbie Wilson, God says, you crying because you don't know what's next. But just because you don't know what's next don't mean I don't know what's next. God says, I already got a plan and it's already in motion. And that's God's word for somebody here tonight. God told me to tell you, you don't know what's next, but he know what's next. And if you just keep trusting him, he already got a plan. Hold on. It gets gooder. He says, I already have a plan. But when he says this, he's also telling him, I already have a person. See, Carla, God says, go to Jesse's house, because one of his sons is the king. Michelle, in other words, Samuel, you aren't going on a wild goose chase. I'm sending you on a mission to find one man. Watch this, who I've already chosen. Now, that ain't what shouts me. What shouts me is because I read the Bible. What shouts me is that this the same way it happened with Saul. You see, in 1 Samuel 9, God told Samuel, tomorrow I'm sending a man from the tribe of Benjamin, and you're to anoint him as the king. And the next day when Saul shows up, God tells Samuel, that's the one. Anoint that one. God chose Saul for Samuel, and now God has chosen David for Samuel. And it was God's way of letting Samuel know that I always have more where that came from. And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I came to tell you, whatever your that is, God has another. He's got another job. He's got another house. He's got another spouse. He's got another opportunity. He's got another season. He's always got another. Here's the shout. God didn't lose his power because Saul lost his position. God says, I always have more than the one you lost. God says, I already have a plan. I already have a person. Here's the catch. I just need your participation. Here's what you got to do, Samuel. You got to stop mourning and get to moving. And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but God told me to tell you, he already has a plan and he already has what you need. He's just waiting on you to stop mourning and for you to start moving. Why? Because when you get to moving, he'll reveal to you that he has better. How do you know that God has better? Because after Saul comes David. And if you've read anything about Saul and David, then you know that in every way, David is better than Saul. He's a better warrior. He's a better worshiper. He's a better king. He's a better leader. He has a better legacy. He's better in every way, which means what? The text teaches us that with God, there's always more to come. And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but God told me to tell you to let that go, because he's got something better for you. And somebody, you've been trying to hold on to Saul because you thought Saul was the best thing you had ever had. And God told me to tell you tonight, he's got something much better for you. You know, it reminds me of my little son. The other day we tried this restaurant, and the truth of the matter is, it didn't taste all that good. And so I asked him, I said, hey, boy, are you upset that your food wasn't good? And he looked at me up with a smile, and he said, no, because there's still some ice cream in the fridge. Y'all don't want to have no church. That was his way of letting me know that didn't work out. But I can still get something else. And that's my word to somebody in this church tonight, that if you're willing to let that go, God will give you something else that's even better. I got to go. But I can't sign off there. No, I can't sign off there. But I'll sign off when I tell you, you want to know the real good news of the text? Hear the real good news of the text. This ain't the last time we find a better king in Bethlehem. Y'all don't want to have no church. I said this ain't the last time we find a better king in Bethlehem. No, in Matthew 2 and Luke 2, we find out things didn't work out with the patriarchs, and things didn't work out with the judges, and things didn't work out with the kings, and things didn't work out with the prophets. But God said, I got something else in mind. So he sent a better king who was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and a better king was born in Bethlehem. Will you do me a favor? Look at somebody and tell them God has better. Come on, you ain't talking to nobody. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, come on, tell them, let it go tonight. Because God, he got something better for you. If you let it go tonight, I got a feeling that God is getting ready to turn it around. I said, God is getting ready to give you something better. Is there anybody in here tonight that say, Lord, I'll let it go because I want what you have for me. I want better in my family. I want better in my finances. I want better on my job.
Well, God bless you, friends. I just believe and know that that word ministered to you as they often do. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel or to our podcast and you can get all that God has for you. And if you like to sow into our ministry that is literally touching lives all around the world, not just by meeting spiritual needs, but practical ones as well, you can go to our website, www.mountzionla.org, or Cash App, Mount Zion LA, or look us up on Giblify. Remember, your generosity matters and makes a difference in the lives of so many. Until I see you, know that I love you, I'm praying for you, and I declare that the absolute best is yet to come. It's up from here.